Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We live in an ever-changing world. You think about the technological changes that have happened over the past couple of decades and how rapidly even something like tech changes. I mean, who would have thought 30 years ago you could have the capabilities we have with our telephones that we carry around with us everywhere? Tech and technology changes. Relationships change. You might have a completely different group of friends than you did years ago. Our lives change. We move. Job changes. Family dynamics change as we add children or parents or spouses pass and die. All bring changes in our life. In fact, even our very bodies change and aren't what they used to be. Our mental acuity, our mental sharpness changes, and perhaps we're just not as quick as we used to be. Opinions and thoughts change. Perhaps now, today, you think one way about a certain issue or topic and never would have thought you would have thought that way some time ago. Everything changes. Things change. Relationships change. Life changes. And in the midst of an ever-changing world, you and I both need an anchor that holds. We both need a sure and steadfast anchor that does not change. We need something. In fact, we need someone who is immovable, steadfast, and constant, who does not change. And what we know is we have that in Christ. We have Jesus Christ and his gospel and his word that does not change. It transcends culture. It transcends change. It is constant through change. We have a message, a word, and a person that does not change. And we need this in our lives. That we have a Savior, our Lord, a Christ, who is changeless, who is immutable, who does not shift, who has stood where he has always stood. He is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is unchangeable. He is changeless. And now the author of Hebrews, whose whole point is for us to persevere and endure, what he says is, in order for you to persevere and endure in a world that does change, you must lift your eyes to a changeless Christ, where he is in heaven. And so he encourages, and what he does in verses 7 through 16 is encourages us to imitate faithful leaders, to avoid false teaching, and to follow the unchanging Christ See, in a world of constant change, we have a gospel who remains steadfast, a Savior that is sure. And so with confidence and perseverance, knowing that Jesus Christ is unchanging and He has secured for us an eternal hope, we can press on clinging to Him, because He does not change, He does not waver. And so what He tells us from the very beginning, in order to grab hold of this changeless Christ, He actually tells us in verse 7, remember your leaders. He says, remember them, those who spoke to you the word of God. Why is He telling them to remember the leaders who spoke the word of God? Is because they're speaking to you timeless truth. He says, remember these leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, and also consider the outcome of their way of life. Think about these leaders who spoke to you timeless truth, who exalted a changeless Christ. He says, now consider them. Consider their outcome. Consider their lives. And then imitate them. Imitate their faith. See, the author of Hebrews is calling us to remember and imitate leaders, particularly those who taught us the word of God, who demonstrated faith in their life, who finished the race well. And he says, those that taught you the word of God, those that finished the race well, those people are worthy of imitation, to follow them as they follow Christ. And we are to look at leaders who finish the race well as a way of reminding us in verse 7 that you and I need, in order to persevere, we need models of faith that we can look to. He just, in Hebrews 11, gave us an example and litany of people who are examples of faith. But here in verse 7, he goes away from even the biblical examples and he gives them personal examples, real examples, those examples in which they looked eye to eye with, and says, look, remember these leaders. Remember those that you know personally and see the outcome of their faith, those that taught you the word of God, and imitate them. We need models of faith and faithfulness. And that is something too that applies directly to the church. We need models of faithful men and faithful women in which the next generation can imitate. It's true for us in our families. We need moms and fathers, mothers and fathers who are living the life of faith in which their children can imitate. We need that. We need models of faith and faithfulness. He says, now, however, remember these leaders and think about the outcome of their faith. There's also a point in which the people we look to oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes actually need to be dead. They need to be dead people. He says, consider the outcome of their faith. And why do we need to actually look to people who have finished the race well? He says, consider the outcome, because there's so many, unfortunately, so many that we have looked up to, and then at the end of their life, they stumbled right before the finish line. He said, look at those who taught you the word of God, who finished the race well, and then imitate their faith. He says, remember these leaders. And now in verse 8, he goes on to write one of these most famous verses, not only in Hebrews, but in the whole Bible. He says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what we need to realize is the connection between verse 7, where he says, remember the leaders and remember how they taught you the word of God and remember the outcome of their faith. And then he says in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. What is that connection? He says, remember the leaders, remember those who spoke the word of God, Jesus Christ same yesterday, today, and forever. What he is telling them and what he is telling us is, in remembering your leaders who taught you the word of God and lived by faith, they are actually, their lives were rooted in that unchangeable, changeless Christ. What he's teaching us is the Jesus who upheld the leaders of the past is the same Jesus who upholds you today. The same Jesus that sustained the leaders, strengthened the leaders, preserved the leaders. He's saying, remember them, remember the outcome. And that same Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one that preserved your leaders is the same one that is going to preserve you. He sustains you. He strengthens you. Jesus held them in his hands. And guess what? Jesus doesn't change. And so if you're in him, he will hold you in your hands. In his hands. He's saying they upheld them. He upheld them. He sustained them. He saw them to the very end of their race. And is that same Jesus that will see you to the end of your race. And so he says, press on. Remember your leaders and remember this Jesus. As he tells them to recall the faith of their leaders who lived out and preached an unchanging truth. And an unchanging Christ. He says, remember them. And it was their faith in Jesus, the very same unchanging Jesus, that we should imitate. The Jesus that held them is the Jesus that holds us. Same Jesus to give them grace, upheld them, and the same Jesus upholds you. And then so he says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so that is how it connects to verse 7. It's like, remember them. But then he goes on in verse 9, and we have to see how the verse 8 connects to what comes before, but then also what comes after. And it connects to verses 9 through 16, particularly 9 through 16, in this way. He says, all right, remember the leaders who taught you the word of God. Jesus held them. He's going to hold you. He's the same. And now in verse 9, he says, now do not be led away by diverse and strange teaching. So not only is it Christ who upholds the leaders, it's the same Christ who sustains them. We have the same message they taught, the same message that they preached. He said, look, remember them. Christ is the same. Oh, yeah, by the way, don't go into strange teaching. Don't go into strange doctrine. Why? Because if Jesus Christ is the same, his message is the same. His standards are the same. His word is the same. His ethics are the same. His gospel is the same. He says, so don't go into these strange teachings. So the message that these leaders preached, Jesus is the same, is the message we preach. The message we proclaim a Christ who was crucified and risen again. He says that does not change. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the very cornerstone of the gospel. He is the same. He is the source and content of the gospel. And if Christ doesn't change and he's the content of the gospel, that means the content of the gospel does not change. Therefore, do not be led away by strange teaching. Let's put it another way. If it's new, it ain't true. So look, Jesus has taught the same thing, has the same message, has the same authoritative, sufficient word from eternity past to eternity future. There's nothing new under the sun. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so this is how heresy and cults start, teaching something new in diverse teachings. So look, don't be led astray by that. Jesus is the same yesterday. If it's new, it just simply isn't true. Because the message that was proclaimed by the leaders he calls us to remember will be the same message today. It will be the same message forever. It is Christ. And he doesn't change. And Jesus doesn't rewrite his Bible for us today. It's the same glorious message of a glorious Savior saving ruined sinners. So don't fall into strange teaching. We have a message to proclaim as the church. The message of the Son of God coming to this earth, coming from heaven, being born of a virgin, living a perfect sinless life, dying a sin-atoning vicarious death on the cross as a substitute for sinners and for our sin, raising again victoriously from the grave, ascending to heaven, interceding for his people at the right hand of the Father, and coming back for the people for which he died. And that is the message we proclaim. And that message does not change, because that message is sufficient to save sinners, because there's a Savior who's sufficient to save sinners. And we call people, the church has always called people, yesterday, today, and forever, to believe and receive this Savior. So now the question is, do you believe this Christ? The same Christ who died for sins and rose again, the victorious, risen, able and willing Jesus. The same Jesus of yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe in Him? Have you received Him for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life? And that message does not change. That call does not change. So he says, church, do not be caught up in strange teachings. The gospel, Christ, its constancy, its ethics, its implications are all the same. And they do not change, because Jesus does not change. And so he gives this warning in verse 9, this general warning about not being led away by false teaching. But then in the verses that follow, the back half of verse 9 all the way through verse 16, he's actually going to address the specific teachings that were leading these Hebrew Christians astray. This particular application. But the principle remains the same. We're not to be led away by strange doctrines. We are to be centered upon Christ, centered upon His Word, centered upon His gospel, to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. But then he goes on. See, here's what's happening in the context of this church in verse 9. He says, look, don't be strengthened. He said, do not be led away, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods. So there is apparently some people putting dietary restrictions on the Hebrews, telling them that this outward adherence to a certain dietary law strengthened their faith. He says, remember, you're not strengthened by food, you're strengthened by grace. He says, don't be caught away, don't be carried away by that false teaching. So he makes sure to correct them. We aren't under the law, we're under grace. Then in verses 10 through 12, there's also apparently also these same people telling the Hebrew Christians they need to make sacrifices still. Remember their Jewish background. Remember, think about the whole point of the book of Hebrews. Is he's making what point? Is the new covenant is better than the old covenant. So there's apparently some Judaizers in the midst of this Hebrew congregation saying, look, you're not really following God. You're not following the God of Abraham, because you're not making sacrifices at the temple. And so he says in verses 10 through 12, he says, we have an altar. We have an altar. And what's the altar? It's not at a Jewish temple. It's at Mount Calvary, where Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain. That is where our altar is. That is where our sacrifice was made. And he goes on. He says, the Christians, we have an altar for which those who serve in the tent, they don't have any right to eat, because they're trusting in their sacrifices. For the bodies of those animals whose blood, verse 11, is brought to the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin, are burned outside the camp. Once again, re-emphasizing the superiority of the new covenant. He reminds them that the sacrifices that were brought, he goes on in verse 12, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify his people through his blood. He's saying the sacrifices that they bring to the temple do nothing to sanctify them. Only Jesus and his blood sanctifies his people. And so he says, Christ, like that sacrifice, was put outside the city gate. And so we go to Christ, who's outside the city, showing that there is a separation between the new covenant and Christ and those who are in Christ by faith and the old covenant sacrificial system. So he reminds them, don't be led away by foods, by the sacrificial system. Look, you're strengthened by grace. We have an altar. Christ is the Lamb of God, the sufficient sacrifice, who we are sanctified by. You don't have to go back to the old covenant. And then he says in verse 13, that means we also should bear the reproach of Christ, to identify with his suffering and his rejection, teaching them once again what, as he says, identify with Christ and his sufferings, means that they don't have to identify with the old covenant no longer. And so he says, look, don't be led away. Don't be swept away. In verse 14, the application of the application, he says, therefore you have a world, a city that's not of this world. Remember that. This world is not your home. There's another city, a lasting, eternal, permanent city where you will dwell with God forever. He says, seek that city and look to that city. And then in verse 15 and 16, further application, don't offer sacrifices that aren't pleasing to God. What would those sacrifices be in context? The old covenant sacrifices they brought to the temple. He says, but the sacrifices of the new covenant, which are what? The lips of praise, good works. Those are the sacrifices that are pleasing to God. And so he says in verses 15 and 16, that the fruit of the lips that acknowledge his name, that's a sacrifice of praise to God. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For those sacrifices are pleasing to God. And why can he say all of that? Why can he say, don't get led away by dietary restrictions? Don't get led away by the old covenant sacrifices? It's because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then look, Christ isn't changing on you. You've heard the one true gospel. Christ is sufficient to save. All you need and all you have is Jesus Christ. And there's nothing you can bring. There's nothing you can add. There's nothing you can take away. You can't add to him by the food you eat. You can't add to him by the sacrifices you make. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his work is the same and completely and wholly sufficient. And so he says, do not be led away by false teaching. There are many challenges that we face as a church. As you read this passage and understand this passage, there are false teachings. There's diversions, there's division, there's change. You think about the cultural shifts, the pressure of cultural shifts in our day. We navigate a changing cultural landscape in God's providence, where you and I live, in our time and in our space where God has sovereignly placed us. We do live in a rapidly changing culture. And here's the reality of that as we navigate. Is if you don't hold on to the anchor, which is Christ, who does not shift, who does not change, who does not waver, who's not tossed to and fro, if you're just kind of standing untethered from Christ, when the culture comes and it blows, and it wants you to move, you'll move right along with it. We as a church will move right along with it unless we are anchored to the one who does not change. And we must be anchored to Christ. His salvation doesn't change. His message doesn't change. His gospel doesn't change. And here's the reality of that. Is Christ, his word, and his authority, because it does not change, we live in a time where truth is thought to be subjective, that exclusivity of the gospel is thought of to be mean. And there are many that would say, well, Jesus just changes along with the culture. We must reaffirm the authority of God's word and a changeless Christ. And we must do so with conviction and with clarity. I mean, look at churches who were not anchored to a changeless Christ and an unchangeable gospel. And the pressure of like a sexual ethic that's changing, they go right along with it. They shift right along with it. But the gospel in Christ is the same. So let's go back to verse 8. He says, Jesus Christ is the same. The gospel message never changes, regardless of cultural shifts or personal circumstances. We will be face down when the culture comes pressing in, or even if something in your life is particularly going on. Like, let's just take an ethic for a moment and talk about the sexual ethic. And you're right now, like, you're against, like, homosexuality, as the Bible says you should be. But then if your kid becomes a homosexual, what starts to happen to a lot of parents? They start to shift. But Christ hasn't changed on that. He stood where he's always stood. So regardless of the culture or what might happen in your personal life, we understand that Jesus is the same. And the Christ that has called Abraham, Moses, and David is our Christ. He's the same. The same gospel that transformed Peter, that transformed Paul, is the same gospel that transformed us. The same Jesus that loved John loves us. The same Jesus who told his disciples that he is with them always is the same Jesus who says he is with us always. The same Jesus that strengthened and upheld men throughout church history like Polycarp and Athanasius and Augustine and Anselm, Edwards, Owen, Spurgeon, Sproul, that Jesus who upheld them upholds us. Because the Christ, Jesus, is the same. He is for them what he was for them, he is for us. Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he is the same for those that have gone before us, he's the same for us today. And here's the good news for us with thinking about the future. He's also going to be the same in the future. He's going to be the same Jesus for your children. He's going to be the same Jesus for your children's children. He's going to be the same Jesus for your children's children's children. And he's going to be the same Jesus for your children's 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 children. Because the Jesus that upholds and strengthened even the apostles is the same Jesus today, and he'll be the same Jesus who saves sinners tomorrow. Because he does not change. He is the same. We have a steadfast, changeless Christ and an unchanging gospel. And it does not matter how much the culture shifts and the world around us changes. It does not matter how much in our personal life and circumstances moves and shifts. If it was sin then, it's sin now. If Christ saves then, Christ can save now. Because he's always stood where he's always stood. And notice when it says Jesus Christ is the same, it's a person that's the same. He is the same. We're not just assenting to a group of truths. We are placing our faith in a person who doesn't change. He is the same. And if he is the same and he's the content and source of the message, if Jesus is the sum and substance of the gospel, if he doesn't change, that means our message doesn't change. He is the same from eternity past. He is the same on October 13th, 2024. And if he tarries until year 6,000, he is the same and his message is the same. And he's the same yesterday. Christ is the same yesterday. The person's the same. He's the same yesterday. He is the one who died and rose again. He's the unchanging Christ. We are told in the Holy Scripture, revealed to us by God, there's an unchanging risen Christ. And so we don't get to also worship a God of our imagination. We can't just dream up a Christ. We don't invent a Christ. We don't look to a Christ who changes. We look to Jesus, who is the same yesterday. He is the one you must worship. The Christ of the Bible, the one that was the same yesterday, he's the one we worship. The true, unchanging Christ of the Scripture, of God's revelation. Also, implication for that is we don't need, as we continue as a church, we do not need an up-to-date, get-with-the-times Jesus. We need a Jesus of yesterday. We need a Jesus who has revealed himself to us. We don't need a cool or a hip Jesus. We just need the Jesus of the Bible, a Jesus of yesterday. We need the Christ of yesterday. I need an exalted Jesus who laid down his life for sinners and took it up again and reigns triumphantly at the right hand of the Father and will do so until the last day and into all of glory. That is the Christ of yesterday I must trust in, I must follow, and I must believe. He's the same Christ yesterday, he's the same Christ today. That means who he was yesterday to everybody that's gone before, to everybody he's upheld. That means he's the same Jesus in this moment for you today. And when is it today? As long as it's called today. And this Jesus, who is the sustainer, maker, ruler, creator, the Son of God, that same Jesus is not only the same yesterday, he's the same today. He's the same for you this moment. He's upholding you this moment. The very next breath you take is because Jesus is with you today. And he's the same today. And he sustains you today. And this Christ, no matter what changes in your life, and no matter what will change, because change is inevitable, now help. Finances, relate, whatever changes, this Christ is with you today. We have a Savior who doesn't change, who doesn't renege on his promises, who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. A Christ who says, today, this moment, you can trust me. Trust in the unchangeable Christ today. Trust him with your yesterday. Trust him with your today. And trust him with your forever by faith in him. Today, you can also trust him for eternal life because that message doesn't change. So today can be the day of salvation for you by trusting in this same Jesus whose message has always been the same and will never change today. But this Jesus is also the same forever. The quality of his redemption doesn't change. It's not like his salvation wears out as time goes on. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't have an expiration date. It has no shelf life. He's provided through his work and person eternal life. He became the very source of eternal salvation to all those who obey him, Hebrews 5:9 says. 9:12 says he secured for us eternal redemption. 9:14-15 says we have received a promised eternal inheritance. And in verse 13 or verse 20 of chapter 13 is by the blood of an eternal covenant. He is the same yesterday, today, but he is also the same forever. He will not pull the rug out from you in eternity. You're safe. You're secure. Because Jesus is the same. And he's the same into all the ages. An eternal Savior who will see you to the very end. He will carry you all the way home. See, our message is not novel. It is the old story of Jesus and his love. And it's that old story that we have in the past that goes on forever, that is reliable and unchanging. He is the unshakable foundation of our life. That's why we can sing songs like, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And it can be an old, old story that we will sing till glory because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The glory of the gospel and the glory of Christ does not change, which means also his power does not change. The power to save sinners, Romans 1, the power of God unto salvation, that power is still the same. That power can still break stony hearts. It can take dead hearts and make them alive. It can take the most dark, ruined sinner and give them light and life. Let us not forget that not only does Christ, his person, and his message stay the same, but the very power that's inherent in the gospel is the same. So let us not be ashamed of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, that is working. That power of God worked yesterday, it works today, and it will work forever. So it means we don't improve it, we can't change it, we don't add to it, we don't take away from it. We preach Christ and him crucified, and we trust God to save sinners. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter how much changes. It doesn't matter the technology that changes. It doesn't matter the world that changes. It doesn't matter the culture that changes. It doesn't matter what changes in your life. It doesn't matter if we're living on Jupiter in 2700 years. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the gospel remains untouched. The gospel remains unchanged. And Jesus is forever unchanging. In a world that's ever changing, we have an unchangeable Christ, and he is the sum and substance of our faith, and we can trust him, knowing that his truth and his grace never expire, knowing that he will never forsake or leave his people. Jesus Christ, the Christ of yesterday, has taken away our sin. The Christ of today is a living Savior whom you can turn, to whom you can turn, and the Christ of forever is the one you will be with in glory forever. A lot's changed since this letter was written and passed around. A lot has changed even the last decade. But one thing hasn't changed, and it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One person hasn't changed, and it is Jesus Christ. And one reality has not changed. You can trust him for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life by faith. Because we love to tell that story. And it will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. That is what we need in an ever-changing world, is the changeless truth of Jesus Christ and him crucified. We need an unchangeable Christ who is completely reliable. And that same Christ stands before us today saying, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. We have a gospel and we have a Christ that changes our life. But he never changes. Why? Because he is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, the unchangeable Jesus Christ and his never-changing gospel is the very foundation of our lives. And when is that true? Yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God, we have an unchangeable Christ. Thank you for listening to Sermon Audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.